praise good. Can you put that Bible verse back up there, Colossians 3:16? Look at this. The Colossians 3:16. Can you put that, go back to that one passage there? Look at what it says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what?
Psalms.
Okay. What's the next one?
Hymns.
That seems to be biblical. And? Spiritual songs. I've seen some of these churches on Facebook where their music is so loud, so boisterous, that you can't even understand a word they're saying. But when you sing hymns or listen to songs like that, doesn't it minister to you? It ministers in such a special way. Why? Because you're allowing the Holy Spirit of God to minister to your heart. As you meditate on God is always good. And He is good.
Amen.
All the time. Amen.
Right.
He is good. Thank you so much for that song, brother. I really do appreciate that. As I promised this morning, my message is UFOs and Bible prophecy. Let me just make something clear tonight. I do not believe in little green men from Mars. However, there are some type of aerial phenomena going on up there that we can't explain. But the Bible says there's something sinister going on up there. And you could probably explain 85% of the so-called sightings. But there are other sightings out there that we can't explain. But I think the Bible gives us the explanation. And how this is going to play out in the upcoming 7-year period of tribulation. So with that said, I want you to take your Bibles. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in Luke. While you are turning to the Gospel of Luke chapter 21, looking at verses 25 through 27, you have an opportunity to visit our book table at the end of the service. We have a lot of gifts from Israel and stuff we brought back from the Holy Land when we were there a couple of weeks ago. And we did have a sign-up sheet up there, but I don't know what happened to it. It was a piece of paper with email sign-ups, and it was there, so I'm not sure what happened to that. But if you want to receive our free newsletters, just see me at the end of the service. I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. We'll get a piece of paper out of the office there, and you can use that for our free newsletters. They go out every single week. And if you'd like to join my wife and I in Israel this fall, September 14th to the 24th, Israel. Is that it right there? Oh, you had it, huh? The culprit. There it is. Mystery solved. We just solved another mystery. Amen. So if you'd like to join us in Israel this fall, see me at the end of the service. I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. Israel and Jordan, visiting Mount Nebo in North Jordan. We were just there where Moses viewed the Promised Land. And South Jordan at Petra. Talked about Petra this morning. And we're going to see all those places for the 10 days that we are out there. So if you're interested, you'd like to come to Israel with my wife and I this fall, and see me at the end of the service. Luke 21. Let's look at verse number 25. Jesus is talking. How do I know He's talking? The words are in red. It says this, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly gracious Father, thank you once again for this opportunity to be back behind this sacred desk at our home church, East Bay Baptist Church. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for establishing this ministry in a very needy area where people need to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus the Messiah. And Lord, we know that Matthew 4:4, the Lord said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So not only is this church meeting the physical needs of people, but also the spiritual needs as well. I pray, Lord, that you would be with Pastor Tony, Don, Joseph, the family out there in Pensacola. I pray that you would help them to enjoy their time out there. But Father, tonight, we want to hear from heaven. Lord, we want to hear from the very heart of God. As Brother Tom was saying, that this place is like an oasis. After fighting with this world, the struggles of life, persecution all around us, yet we can come in here, Lord, and we can sit and meditate at the feet of our Lord and Savior. Having the Word of God ministering to us, Lord, so that we can walk out of here living a life that you desire for us to live. And so, Lord, I'm praying that you would bless those watching via live stream. And if there is someone here and they don't know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that today, tonight, would be the day of salvation, because tomorrow just might be too late. So, Father, thank you for what you're about to do now. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
When we look at Luke 21, we are looking at the Olivet Discourse. When I take my tour groups to Israel, to the city of Jerusalem, one of my favorite places is the Mount of Olives. Because it was there Jesus, Yeshua, gave the first Bible prophecy conference in human history, the Olivet Discourse. The Olivet Discourse is covered in Matthew 24, Mark 13, right here. Luke chapter number 21. And Jesus has given us, in this Olivet Discourse, a preview. An eschatological preview. What does eschatology mean? I know it's a fancy word, but what does it mean? What does it mean, Brooke? Oh, his hand went up, so... What does eschatology mean? Exactly. It's study of future. Last things. Bible prophecy in general. So Jesus has given us an eschatological preview of what's going to happen, right, in the not too distant future. The thing is, we, as the church, the body of Christ, are not going to be here. We will be in heaven for... a brief 7 years while the earth globe is going through a 7 year period of tribulation. Go to the first slide, please. What is a UFO? Oh, we know what it is, right? The abbreviation? Yes, exactly. And unidentified flying object, right? Something that cannot be explained. A flying object that cannot be identified as being from terra firma, being from this world, or what you see on the screen, a mysterious object seen in the sky for which it is claimed have no orthodox scientific explanation whatsoever can be found. What is it? Where did it come from? UFOs became a major subject of interest following the development of the creation of rockets shortly after World War II, and were thought by some researchers to be intelligent extraterrestrial life visiting planet Earth. Little green men from Mars, little green men from Pluto, or wherever. Go to the next one, please. A well-known UFO sighting occurred in 1947. A year, not just Roswell, but I mean all over the United States for that matter. When a businessman by the name of Kenneth Arnold claimed to see 9 crescent-shaped objects near Mount Rainier in the state of Washington. Even wrote a book about it. But yeah, Roswell is another one. The Lubbock lights that were seen in Texas. I mean, we're talking sightings of unidentified aerial phenomena. But it was only in 1948. The United States Air Force began an investigation of the reports called Project Sign. And this was shortly after Israel became a nation. When? May 14th, 1948. And then these aerial sightings began to increase. Not just here in the United States, folks. I'm talking all over the world. Shortly after Israel became a nation, May the 14th of 1948. Next slide, please. From 1952 to 1969, Project Blue Book was born. And it compiled reports of more than 12,000 sightings or events. Each was classified as either identified or artificial, human caused, or unidentified. Next slide, please. Sightings of unidentified flying objects through the skies have increased in the 21st century and intensifying all over the place. Plus, you've got these hit TV shows like The Truth Is Out There. I have to admit, I was somewhat of a fan of The X-Files. Mulder, Scully, The Truth Is Out There. Yeah, The Truth Is Out There. It's contained in the 66 books of what we have here. The Word of God. That's the truth, amen? But that was their slogan, The X-Files. The Truth Is Out There. Next slide, please. Many have tried getting on the grounds of the infamous, which doesn't exist, Area 51 in Nevada, with the claim now that the government is hiding alien spacecraft, preserving alien bodies, using alien technology so that we can have an advantage over our enemies like Russia or China, for that matter, using technology from another world to advance U.S. military weaponry. Now, you got to ask yourself this question. These guys with all these alien conspiracies, you got to ask yourself this question. Where are they getting their information from? What is their source for these little green men from Mars? These aliens that have been visiting the White House lately. I think I found the source, Brother Tom, as to where they're getting their information from. Next slide, please. Weekly World News. Hillary Clinton adopts alien baby. Secret Service building special nursery in the White House. Space creatures survive UFO crash in our... Do they even still sell these papers? Are you kidding me? They're still selling these satirical newspapers. Lord have mercy. Let's go to the next one, please. Here's another one for you. President Clinton rides in UFO. Alien takes new leader on secret flight over Washington, D.C. Oh, but it gets even better. Next slide, please. Alien and slammer after fist fight with Bill over Hillary. The alien went into the hoostow, and look, the former president is sporting a nice-looking shiner given to him by an alien. Folks, this is the source. This is the source of their information. Satirical newspapers that are full of nonsense. What did I say this all the time. If the plain sense makes sense. Don't look, for any other sense. Or you will end up with nonsense. But you know something? What scares me is people actually believe this garbage. They actually believe this type of nonsense. I mean, the weekly world news, I mean, where else are you going to get their information from? They're probably more credible than CNN. And I use that loosely. But this is the source of their information on top of wild conspiracies that are out there today. Again, let me be clear, especially to those that are watching via live stream. I do not believe in aliens. I do not believe in little green men from Mars visiting us from another planet, Mars, Jupiter, visiting the White House, or going to fisticuffs with a president. It's absolutely nonsense, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, we have these space land rovers that are up there in Mars right now, right? And these land rovers are shooting back all of this video from Mars, Jupiter, or whatever. They're showing no signs of life at all. I don't see major alien skyscrapers on planet Mars with flying saucers parked in the parking lot. It's just one big round ball of dust, amen? No signs whatsoever of alien life. However, we should not dismiss the fact that there are UFO phenomena taking place in the skies, not little flying saucers and not little green men from Mars. And these unidentified flying objects have baffled scientists with no explanation whatsoever. They're not aliens, but I do believe there's something sinister, something evil, something deep that's going on here. And again, we just read it. Jesus in his Olivet Discourse said that there would be signs. You might want to circle that word, signs. In the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. Upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves are roaring. And yet he says, men's hearts failing them for fear. You know how I take that? Men's hearts failing them for fear? Heart failure. Looking at this phenomenon that is going on in the sky. And all this takes place in the tribulation period. And what we see going on right now is setting the stage for these events to happen in the not too distant future. Men's hearts are failing them for fear. Heart failure due to the phenomenon taking place in the skies prior to his return, because we know, looking at this piano, looking at this pulpit, looking at this keyboard, we're looking at a preview here of Bible prophecy. This piano represents the rapture of the church. Everybody say rapture.
Rapture.
This pulpit represents a 7-year period of tribulation. Everyone say tribulation.
Tribulation.
That keyboard right there represents the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone say, second coming. What do we have here? 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 This event, which is 7 years long, separates these two events. The rapture is when he comes for his church. We go to meet him in the air. 7 years later, he comes back with his church. Rapture, second coming, separated by a 7-year period called the tribulation period. And everything that Jesus is talking about in Luke 21 will happen during that 7-year period of time. This deals with the events of the tribulation, the events of the second coming after the tribulation. Because again, looking at verse 27 of Luke 21, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. That's not a rapture passage. That's a second coming passage. The second coming that happens after this event right here, the tribulation period. And we know, looking at Luke 21, 20 through 24, that was a past fulfillment. How do I know that? Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. And if you don't believe me, take a trip to Israel. Go to the city of Jerusalem, especially to the southwestern area of the Temple Mount. You can still see today the remains of that Roman destruction. And I take my tour group to a massive pile of stones that caved the ground in 2,000 years ago. And Brother Tom, every time I go up to those stones, I put my hand on those stones. You know what I'm doing? I'm touching tangible evidence of Jesus' prophecy in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. What did Jesus say? There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And today, 2,000 years later, a massive pile of stones is left over from that Roman destruction of Jerusalem from 70 AD. So from Luke 21, 20-24, past fulfillment with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. However, when you get to Luke 21, 25-36, that is still future. A future fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man. Listen, you have no signs that have to happen in order for the rapture to take place. No prophecies must be fulfilled. The rapture is imminent. It could happen at any moment, at any time, without anything having to be fulfilled. However, in the tribulation period, guess what? Signs galore. They're all over the place. That's why Jesus said, verse 25, and there shall be signs. Signs. In the sun, the moon, the stars, upon the earth, distress of nations, were perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. There are signs in the tribulation period that precede the second coming of the Lord Jesus back to this earth to establish his kingdom from the holy city of Jerusalem. There are no signs that precede the rapture of the church. No prophecies must be fulfilled in order for the rapture of the church to take place. Right now, and I want to differentiate here, we are not in the end times. Please differentiate. We are in the last days. How do I know we're living in the last days? A simple reading of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 clearly tells us we are in the last. Do you know how the last days began? With the birth of Jesus Christ. The church was born on the day of Pentecost in the last days. Amen. Listen, folks, we have been in the last days for the past 2,000 years. Let me ask you a question. Is it getting any better?
No way.
No. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. The church will come under severe persecution, and it's going to get worse. I know that based on 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. We are in the last days, and the last days of the church age is about to come to a close at this event that we call the rapture of the church. Just read it on your own time. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. What did Paul say? This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And he gives us 20 characteristics of the last days that you can read on your own time. After the church is taken out of here at the rapture, there's going to be somewhat of a gap of time, maybe a brief gap of time. The Antichrist, the ruler of the revived Roman Empire, comes on the scene, and he will confirm a 7-year peace treaty with who? Exactly. A 7-year peace treaty with Israel. Next slide, please. And once he does that, that will commence the end times. But the Antichrist, the ruler out of the revived Roman Empire, confirms the covenant with many for 1 week. That's Daniel's 70 weeks, Daniel 9, 24 through 27. And you can notice based on that, on this description right here, 69 of those 70 weeks have already literally been fulfilled. From the time of Nehemiah rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, Nehemiah 2, 445 BC, all the way up until the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. After the 69 weeks, the Messiah is cut off. The Messiah is put to death. His death will end the 69 weeks of prophecy, but Daniel tells us it's 70 weeks. So if 69 weeks have already been fulfilled, how many weeks are left? That's still future. What is that 1 week? A 7-year period of tribulation to come. That won't happen until the Antichrist confirms that 7-year peace treaty with Israel. They will go to rebuilding a third Jewish temple, and there will be a Jewish temple standing on the Temple Mount in the holy city of Jerusalem. And looking at this, the 7-year period of tribulation is divided into two periods. The first half, 1,260 days. The last half, 1,260 days. 2,520 days in all. So the end times would include the tribulation period, second coming, Armageddon, the kingdom, but ends at the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15. So we must differentiate between the last days of the church age and the end times concerning the nation of Israel. We are not in the end times now, but we are in the last days. So I found this interesting news article right here. If you want to go to the next one, please. So I got this from Fox News. I always take it from the secular sources so you know there's no bias going on here. This has happened this past week. Congress holds historic public UFO hearing as military struggles to understand mystery fly-in phenomenon. Congress is holding a hearing on the possible national security threat of UFOs for the first time in 50 years. That's pretty interesting. Not only was this covered by Fox News, but go to the next slide, please. Even World Israel News out of Jerusalem was covering this story as well. Pentagon releases declassified UFO footage. Deputy Director of Naval Intelligence Scott Bray shows declassified footage during his opening remarks at a historic open house hearing on unidentified aerial phenomena. So this is declassified footage of all of these unidentified flying objects that they just cannot figure out where they're coming from. No jet propulsion, no nothing. I mean, they're streaking through the skies at hundreds and hundreds of miles per hour. Now, Bible prophecy indicates this phenomena will intensify prior to the rapture of the church. Do you remember what Jesus said of Satan in John chapter 12, verse 31? He's the prince of this world. Not of Mars. He's not the prince of Jupiter. He's not the prince of the moon. He's the prince of this world. Planet Earth. Terra firma. Jesus calls him the prince of this world. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as what? Lightning fall from heaven. A direct reference to Satan's fall and being cast to the earth. Remember in the book of Job? What did God ask Satan? Satan, from whence comest thou? What was Satan's reply? Wasn't walking to and fro on planet Mars. He was walking to and fro right here on this planet. To and fro, ladies and gentlemen, on planet Earth. Job 1:6, Job chapter 2, and verse number 1. But I want you to look with me in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2, if you will, please. Book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Notice what Paul the Apostle is saying here in verse number 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2. Do you want to know the source of all this evil going on in the world today? Why man is doing the things that he's doing? Walking into grocery stores and blowing people away. Schools. Streets. Man, look at this. Ephesians 2:2. wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now, present tense, now, worketh in the children of disobedience. Wait a minute. Satan is the prince of the air. You know what that's telling me, folks? He has dominion over the first and the second heavens. What are the first heavens, by the way? Skies. The clouds, where the birds fly. That's Daniel 4:12. What's the second heaven? Space. Galactic space. Psalm 19:1-3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. What he does not have dominion over is the third heaven. Why? God the Father is there. God the Son is there. God the Holy Spirit is there. Our same loved ones are there. He doesn't have dominion over the third heaven. You see, we see the first heaven by day, the second heaven by night, and the third heaven by faith. Right now, we walk by faith, not by sight. What's this event right here? At the rapture, when he takes us to the Father's house, you won't walk by faith anymore. You're going to walk by sight. Why? We will see him face to face. He's the prince of the power of the air, controlling the first and the second heaven. He right now has dominion over those two spaces. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Let me show you this. A war is taking place somewhere between the first and the second heavens. So, in Revelation chapter 12, and you will notice with me in verse number 7. Revelation 12 and verse number 7. And it says this. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Who's the dragon? That's Satan. And the dragon fought and his angels. Who are those angels, by the way? They're stinking demons. Look at verse 8. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole earth. And he was cast out into Pluto. Mars. Jupiter. No. Where? Right here, folks. Into earth. And his angels were cast out with him. So we read in Revelation 12, there's war in heaven between the first and the second heaven, both where Satan and his demons battle Michael and the good angels. He is cast into the earth. His angels or demons are cast out with him. Now, the Bible gives us a number as to how many of these fallen angels rebelled with Satan. Look at Revelation 12:5. We're already there. Look at verse 4. I'm sorry. Revelation 12:4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And it cast them where? There it is again. To the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. Who's the woman here? Israel. Exactly. Which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So Revelation 12:4 is clear. One third of those angels rebel with Satan. Now, based on what I read in Daniel 7:10, Daniel said, I saw 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. So you're scratching your head, you're saying, well, who's 10,000 times 10,000? Now you have to apply inductive Bible study. In other words, you compare Scripture with Scripture. So I take Daniel 7:10 and I line it up with Revelation 5:11. What did John say? I saw angels. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You do the math on that. 10,000 times 10,000 equals 1 100 million plus. Look, just for the sake of argument, okay? Revelation 12:4 says a third of these demons rebel the same. Let's take a third, okay? Bear with me now. Let's take a third of 100 million. Do you know what a third of 100 million is? You ready? He's good, man. 33,333,333.3. I know I sound like Mr. Spock. Folks, that is a whole lot of demons. Now, I can't be dogmatic on that number. I'm just throwing something out there to you. A third of fallen angels, if you take it from 100 million, would be 33,333,333.3. That number could be smaller, it could be higher, but whatever the case is, our world is infested with demons. Who's leading these demons? The prince and the power of the air, who has control of the first and the second heavens. So sure, you can probably explain about 85% of this aerial phenomenon away, easily. But there are other aerial phenomena you just cannot explain away. Why? Satan is the prince and the power of the air. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us he's the god of this world. Oh, by the way, 2 Corinthians 11:14 says he can transform into a what? An angel. Well, he was part of that too. But yeah, it's an angel of light. You know what that means? That means he and his demons can maybe take the form of a departed loved one. Oh, I saw so-and-so last night. No, you did not. If you saw any apparition, it was a demon. Plain and simple. He can transform into an angel of light, the Bible tells us. So Jesus will return at his second coming, right? And we know he's going to throw the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire. That's Revelation 19, 19, and 20. Satan will be cast where? Not the lake of fire. He's going to be cast where? A bottomless pit. That's what the Bible says, Revelation 21 and 2. And how long will he be in the bottomless pit for? Throw me a number. 1,000. 1,000 years. And we must also assume that his demons are going to be confined as well. Based on what I read in Isaiah 24, 20 through 22, those demons will also be confined as well. Because if they weren't, how are you going to have 1,000 years of peace? Amen? So they have to be incarcerated for the duration of the kingdom. Demons incarcerated as well. After the 1,000 years, what happens to Satan? He's loose, right? He's loose. People, why is he loose? Because God said so. That's why he's loose. And what is he trying to do? Overthrow the kingdom of Jesus Christ one final time. The Bible says fire will come down from heaven, destroy him and his followers. Then, finally, where is Satan going to be cast into? The lake of fire. To join who? The beast and the false prophet, Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10. And he will be there forever and forever. Listen, all you simply need to do, if you're going to study Bible prophecy, is read the scriptures for their plain sense interpretation. I don't need to get cute with the scriptures. I don't need to make a mountain. I could do that and make a name for myself. I don't want to do that. You know why? I'm dishonoring his word if I do that. Try to make a mountain out of a molehill. You don't do that. The Bible is its best own interpreter. And we need to leave it as such. And what really grieves my spirit today, especially with these UFO conspiracy guys, it's unbelievable, is they're always trying to create something new. Oh, let's go beyond the scripture. Let's come up with something new so we can sell a whole lot of books, maybe even get a reality TV show out of the deal. have my face on the front cover of Christianity Today. No, no. Stay true to God's word. Amen. It's its best own interpreter. You can't just disclaim everything that's going on up there in the first and second heavens. There's something demonic going on up there. I told you already, 85% of it you could probably explain away. But there is demonic activity going on as I speak within the first and the second heavens. Preparing for what is to come. What's this pulpit right here again? A future 7-year period of tribulation to come. We got the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. We got the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. The tribulation. Matthew 24:21. Revelation 7:14. Over here, the second coming. Revelation 19:11-16. This is a basic preview of Bible prophecy. And what Jesus is sharing with you and I in the Olivet Discourse in Luke 21, all these things will come to a head during the tribulation period. Men will be looking up into the sky. What is going on? What is that? Oh! Men's hearts failing them. Heart failure for fear. Why? They're looking on those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Signs in the sun. You know, we talk about these blood moons. Give me a break already, huh? Remember John Hagin, his blood moon nonsense? There were 4 blood moons, and that 4th blood moon is going to be a major sign for the nation of Israel, and that moon wasn't even seen in Israel. It was seen everywhere but Israel, but it's supposed to be a major sign to Israel. They even made a major motion picture, and John Hagin went laughing all the way to the bank. You don't hear people talking about blood moons anymore, do you? Why? It's not scriptural. The Bible only talks about 1 red moon. And that's not in the church age right now. That's in the tribulation period to come. Trying to make a name for yourself. It's mind-boggling to me. But I will close it out with this. With that Fox News and that World Israel News of Congress releasing all of this declassified footage of UFOs, phenomena, strange sightings in the skies, globally, all over the world, I believe, folks, it is setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Because before you can have this event, you must first have this event. The next main event on God's calendar of activities that we call the rapture of the church. It's dateless. It's signless. No prophecies must be fulfilled. So dismiss from your mind, despite being an X-Files fan like I was back in the day, dismiss from your mind little green men from Mars. No such thing. And by the way, Brother Tom, the only other alien that I know is if someone's trying to get into this country illegally, they are called a illegal alien. If I try to break into their country illegal, I'm called them an illegal alien. It's the only alien I know. I don't know Mr. Gazoo. You remember Mr. Gazoo? The Flintstones? That little green Martian? You gotta be born back in the day if you know what I'm talking about. I don't know of any other thing. The Bible talks about celestial and terrestrial, right? Not extra terrestrial. What was that? What was that show of? Close Encounters? Is that what they called it? Close Encounters of the Third Kind. This thing with this long neck and a big basketball head with a little glowing finger. Nonsense. It gets deeper, folks. It's demonic. It's evil. And everything that's going on up in the heavens right now is preparing for what is to come. A final 7-year period of tribulation. The next main event, the rapture of the church. What did Paul the Apostle say concerning this event, the rapture of the church? Nobody's telling us. Don't be ignorant. Well, Brother Rosado, that's being kind of rude. No, I'm just telling you what Paul said. Don't be ignorant. He said, I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. But we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we, which are alive and remain, caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If you don't stick with the book, if you don't take a look at the book, you are going to go off on some wild, weird doctrine. Like Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, Charles Taze Russell, David Koresh, Applewhite, the founder of the UFO cult in California, who claimed that a spaceship will come down from heaven. And in order for us to get on that spaceship, we need to take a page out of Jim Jones' book. Let's drink the Kool-Aid. 50 of his followers, all sharply dressed, laid on their beds, drank cyanide-laced Kool-Aid, went to sleep, hoping that they're going to get on that spaceship that will take them to heaven. Never happened. Stick with the book.
Amen.
Never go wrong with the word of God. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
This is what we're waiting for right here. And as we're waiting for this event right here, that means you keep your ear hole on. As we listen, you ready, buddy? As we listen for the sound of the trumpet. Come up, Heather!
Amen.
And in the twinkling of an eye, we are going to be changed from mortal to immortal, from perishable to imperishable, from corruptible to incorruptible. We will receive a glorified body. Take us up into the Father's house, and once we get to that third heaven, we will be in heaven for just a brief 7 years. And then after 7 years, there's going to be a wedding. And then a wedding feast. Then we get on those white horses. And we're going to giddy up to terra firma at Seabed. Second coming of Jesus Christ. We are on the winning side. It doesn't get any better than that. But if you're not saved, you're not going to be there. You know where you're going to be? Right here. When all these things take place, you don't want to be here. You don't want to be left behind. What am I telling you? Get saved today. Call upon the name of the Lord. Be born again through the Spirit of God. And be ready for either one or two things. Either death or the rapture. Well, what if you died before the rapture? It's out of my hands, man. Nothing I can do about that. If I die before the rapture, I've already instructed my wife what to do. Here lies Brother August Rosado, only renting this spot, will be leaving soon. That's it. But if I'm alive at the time of the rapture, that works for me too. I'm going to go up. And if you're saved, so are you. In the twinkling of an eye. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Especially those that are right now watching via live stream. If God is speaking to you about salvation, now is an opportune time to take advantage while there is still time left to call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13. To be born again, John 3:3. Confess your sins to the Lord, John 10:9 and 10. And get ready for what is to come. The soon return of Jesus Christ for his bride. You, not these four walls, you, the church. So if you're here tonight and you're saying, August, don't have the assurance of going to heaven when I die. I want that assurance. I need to be ready. If that's you, just slip your hand up and put it down. August, pray for me. I need to be saved. Do we have anyone like that here at all? Maybe somebody watching via live stream. You can call this church up. East Bay Baptist Church, East Providence, Rhode Island. Talk to Pastor Tony. Talk with someone here at the church. We'll show you from the Bible how you can know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that heaven will be your destination. Time's running out. We're running on fumes, as they say. We're running on borrowed time, man. We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord, because judgment is about to come upon this world. And all these indicators that we see globally, whether they're on earth or in the skies, are preparing for that final 7-year period to come upon Israel and the entire world. Get saved today. Heavenly gracious Father, Lord, we come into your presence right now. Father, we ask that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts. Lord, people need the Lord. In this day and age in which we live, people need the Lord. And I am so grateful that East Bay Baptist Church is doing what they're doing. And to my dismay, even being criticized by others for doing what they're doing with the food pantry outreach. Put in door hangers on homes, apartments, reaching out to the community around us, not just to give them food, but to give them the gospel as well. And to have that criticized by others just boggles my mind. And I'm so grateful that this church has gone beyond in doing exactly that. Father, I'm praying that you continue to use us as a beacon, as a lighthouse to those all around us who are walking in darkness and slowly perishing. And they will perish unless somebody reaches them with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I'm praying right now during this brief invitation that if there is someone here under my voice not saved, that they would talk with me during this invitation. Talk with Brother Tom. Talk with somebody. Show them from the Bible how to be saved. And those watching on my live stream, the church's live stream, that they would contact East Bay Baptist Church to get more information. So, Father, may you now be glorified in everything that is said and done here tonight. Bless this invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.